powerful songs, powerful messages in the songs. Praise God. I hope and pray that you believe every word that's written down on this Bible, because I believe it is truth. It holds the truth. If you know the simple point of my message this morning, the title of it is called Prison. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about getting free from prison that may be in your life this morning. Amen? If you would, turn to Hebrews, the second chapter, if you would, please. I'm going to read two verses from Hebrews, the second chapter, 14th and the 15th verse. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Get the last part of that 15th verse right there, whenever it says this, whenever it tells us, and he said, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Let us pray, please. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with nothing, and I truly mean it, Lord, nothing but thanksgiving in my heart for you this morning, Lord. You are such a good God. You're so good to us. You're so good to me and my family, Lord. I praise you this morning for the mercy and the grace that you have so richly bestowed upon us, Lord. I pray, Father, this morning, as we talked about in our Sunday school, Lord, we are living in the dispensation of grace, Lord. We are living this morning in that time when your grace abundantly flows from the throne of God. And that, Lord, that anyone that so desires it can have it. And Father, we pray, Father, this morning, that if there's anyone here this morning that is in prison, that is in bondage, Lord, today is the day of salvation. Amen. Amen. Just off the shore of North Carolina is a small shoreline town, and you'll know the name here in a little bit. I'm going to see if you know what it is. That some claim that it got its unusual name because of early residents that inhabited that island. And what they were called wreckers. And what I mean by I mean they were literally called wreckers, and they were pirates by trade, is what they were. And the story goes of what they would do. The wreckers made their living by gathering up parts and by cargo from ships that had run aground. And these ships didn't run aground by themselves. These people instigated them to where they would come and run aground. And how they did this, they would fasten a lantern to the top of an old horse, and they would walk this horse up and down the beach. And as they walked it up and down the beach, ships that were out in the ocean, they could see this light, and they thought that this was the back end of a ship. And they would say, well, we got safe passage and we could follow it in. And what they would do, they'd bring these ships into shore, and when they got in there, they'd hit the rocks, and of course, they would crash because they would see this bobbing lantern on top of this horse. And they'd turn it around in directions. With nowhere to go, the crew was shipwrecked. The pirates would go out and they would kill the crew most generally. They would plunder the ships and bring the stuff into shore. It's estimated that some 2,300 ships were done this way. Estimated. And I'm telling you, this is a story that was told. Even the guests that go there today to this North Carolina town, they can still see some of the houses that were built and some of the furnishings in these houses that were plundered from these ships whenever you go there. And you know what? And this is how they did it. They fastened a lantern to the top of an old horse. Do you know the name of the place now? Nag's Head, North Carolina. And that's what they would say would happen. And guess what? And I want to tell you something. Guess what? There are still Nag's Heads in people's lives today. And you say, how's that? Because you know why? Because Satan is out there and he has all these little lights out there, and you know what? People will be going along in their lives, you know what? And as they're selling through day after day in their lives, and understand this, folks, that whenever you see these, there's too many times where people are heading towards these lights. And you know what Satan's desire is? Satan's desire is to pull these people towards the rock and to destroy their lives and to plunder them, and that's what he wants to do. It's just like the bug zapper that I have on my front porch. I've had that thing for years. But just as soon as I plug that thing in, and I think I've told you this story before, no matter the size of the bug, whether it be bigger or small, it's drawn to that light. And whenever it's drawn to that light, the closer it gets to it, whenever it gets up to it, you know what? The bugs get to it, and that light's there, and it's all over. They get so close that it gets them and destroys their lives, and it burns them up. And that's what happens. Big ones, little ones, it makes no difference the size of that bug. That bug zapper will take that thing. I get up in the mornings after letting that thing burn all night, and there's nothing but ash laying underneath that light where it's been there all night long, where that bug zapper has done its thing. And they get close enough, it burns them up. And my story, my question to you this morning is, and I go back to the same thing, sin can have that same kind of drawing power on people's lives. As the Bible talks about in Hebrews 25, it said there is pleasure of sin for a season. The light of sin draws us in. And James tells us whenever it gets us there, it says, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Why I bring this up, it worries me immensely. It worries me immensely when I see those who are drawn by their addictions. Time after time after time, they are drawn by their addiction. My heart aches for them. Does your heart ache for them this morning? You know what? They go through life battling. They go through life fighting. You see, Satan has put the fight, has put the addiction, has put the lights out there of drugs, of sex, of alcohol. That's some of the big ones. What about the love of gambling? What about the love of food that sometimes, whether or not they eat too much or they don't eat enough? What about the lights of spending? What about the thing about change where people cannot be satisfied? What about all that stuff? What about the love of power? I could go on and on and on how Satan has put these lights out there in front of people, and he draws them to it like a moth being drawn to the flame. Many cannot understand these things unless you've been through it. Am I right? You do not understand what I'm talking about here this morning unless you have dealt with it personally in your life. Satan sets these things before them and it's with just the right glow. Am I right? Am I telling you the truth? It makes things look so good to them. There's many in here whose family, you know what I'm talking about this morning. You know what I'm saying. And time after time, they're drawn toward the light of what Satan does to them and what sin has doing. The flame gets them. And way too many times it ends in tragedy. We know it does. Many a life have been lost. Many a family have been ripped apart. Because the wrecker is shining the light. Is what he's doing. And people are heading for it. They're heading right for the rocks. Listen, I can stand and preach to you folks this morning till I'm blue in the face about this. I have seen it time after time after time after time. You say, what? I've seen people come to church, maybe get their lives straightened up, think they're heading down the right way, think they're going the right direction, but Satan starts shining the light at them again. You know what I'm saying? He's shining the light at them again. And you know what? For whatever reason, and like I said, I can preach to them blue in the face and try to warn, but for whatever reason, it keeps drawing them. It keeps trying to possess them back. I could tell you you're heading for the rocks this morning, but what I need to tell you is you need to get on the rock this morning. 1 Corinthians 10:4 tells us this. It says, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Amen. I can preach to you over and over again that you need to keep Jesus as the forefront of your life. I'm telling you, the lights are there. The draw is there. It is never going to go away from you. They tell me this. That once an alcoholic, that you will always be an alcoholic the rest of your life. That's what they tell me. I've never had that addiction in my life, so I'm just telling you this morning from what I hear from people that have. It's a constant battle. But unless you heed the words of this book, like Tony sung about this morning, I believe every line, every word, every precept, I believe the words written and read, they're more precious to me than ever. I believe it all. And whenever I stand up here and tell you this morning that as the draw comes to your life, that you can overcome this through Jesus Christ, I believe that you can. But it's going to take a daily walk with Him. Amen. You're going to be continued to suffer heartache and humiliation. And eventually you're going to suffer loss of family. You may even suffer the loss of your freedom. Maybe even the loss of your life or the loss of somebody else's life. If you do not heed the words that are written in this book. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I'm telling you here this morning, can make a change in your life. I would not be standing up here preaching to you this morning if I did not believe that. I would not stand up here. I would not waste my time coming to Drift Run Church this morning, and I would not waste your time if I did not believe that. Now let me ask you a serious one-on-one question. Do you feel like you're in prison this morning? Feeling like there's no hope? Do you feel like you're consistently under bondage in your life? I tell you what, I believe as I'm standing here this morning that I am preaching to someone here this morning. I felt that whenever I got up this morning. You know, I looked tired because I was up late last night. I got up this morning not because I'm trying to make you feel sorry for it, because God is dealing with me. Someone here needs to hear this. Our Savior Jesus Christ, who shed His blood on the cross, and after that He rose from the grave, listen to me, and now sits at the right hand of God, that you do not have to remain in the bondage that you're in this morning. You do not have to remain there. You see, with Jesus by your side, you have a chance. You have hope. You can make it. Not with me by your side. And I'm going to tell you, not with your spouse by your side. They will stand, I will stand behind you, and I know they probably will stand behind you also. But listen to me, to get through it, you need something bigger than us. You need Jesus Christ. When the wrecker starts shining light at you one more time, and make no mistake about it, I don't care if you're a Christian here this morning, Satan is not going to let up on you. He will not let up on you. That's why it's so important. So important. To keep your hand in Jesus' hand. Hebrews 13:5. For He has said, I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. Listen to me. There are friends and there are family that may leave you. They may do that. They may walk away and say they've had enough. They do not want no more to do with this situation in your life. But I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see Jesus, someone with you 24/7, 365 days a year. Jesus Christ is there for you. Now, I feel strongly about this morning. Amen. I feel strongly about this morning. Jude 1:23, this is why I feel strongly about it. And others saved with fear, pulling them from the fire. As the moth gets closer to the fire, what happens to it? As it's drawn by that light, the fire gets it and destroys it. I want to preach this morning to pull you from the fire this morning. Hating even the garment that is spotted by flesh. We don't need that in our lives no more. Amen? I feel the Holy Spirit's talking to someone here this morning. Amen? I feel that. I feel it. I will. Listen, He's wanting to set you free. He's wanting to set whoever is here this morning, absolutely, positively, set you free this morning. John 8:36, and if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. Amen. Ryan, He can set us free. Can He not? Amen. Ephesians 4:8, wherefore He has said, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts unto man. What gift did He give unto man? He gave the gift of the Holy Spirit. Whenever Jesus went into the pits of hell, whenever He died on the cross for those 3 days, He went down there, and He got the keys of death and hell, and He brought them up, and He's victorious over it. You do not have to stay in bondage this morning. You do not have to stay in prison this morning. Listen to Acts 1, 4 and 11. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized you with water. But get this, listen to this, amen? But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. When therefore there came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore unto the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times, nor the season, for the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. Listen to me this morning. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you are born again, bought by the blood Christian this morning, you have power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Let the devil shine his lights. Let the wrecker try to destroy your life. Jesus Christ has given you a gift. He has given you the gift of the Holy Ghost to help you get through this stuff. It will come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they were beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. I believe it! And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, he went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and said, what said ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taking you up into heaven, shall so come in like manner, and ye shall be seen of him into heaven. Folks, we need to quit standing around and gazing. We need to get on fire and work for God. And listen, the wrecker won't have as much power as he does nowadays. Then in Acts 2, 1 and 2, this is where it all comes to conclusion. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Listen to me, you want to see things happen, get in one accord. And get it, I don't even know, wherever it may be, get in one accord. And when they were all in one accord, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Listen to me. The Holy Ghost can fill the house where we're sitting this morning. It can make us feel like we're on fire for God. And listen to me. When the lights and the wrecker shines his light towards you, you can overcome. You see, yes, Satan is seeking whom he may devour. Yeah, he's seeking whom he may devour. But praise be to God, Jesus dwells in our heart. And if Jesus dwells in your heart, the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart. And praise God, we can overcome. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let the light shine. Let it shine. I know that, you know, that addiction has a hold on our kids or our community. But praise God, Jesus can overcome these things. Don't let the wrecker control your life anymore. I'm begging you, if you're here this morning like that, don't let him control your life anymore. Do not let him do it. Don't be held in bondage. Don't be held in prison any longer. God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, is offering you freedom here this morning. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succumbed to thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Right now, if the Spirit is dealing with you, today is the day of salvation. Do you want to continue down the path you're on? Let me ask you a serious question. Are you going down a path where if one day you feel like the next day the wrecker's got you in his control and it's caused a battle back and forth? Are you continuing down that path? I'm telling you right now, do you want to continue down that path? Maybe not sure if you'll ever see another tomorrow. Listen to me. There are people like that. They don't know if they're going to see another. Not sure if the next knock on their door will be the police coming after them. Amen? They don't know that. Always worried that friends or family will find out. Always worried about that. This morning, this very day, I'm going to give you some. Jesus is here to get you out of bondage. This morning, this very day, this very hour, Jesus is here to take you out of bondage. You may be saying, preacher, it's hopeless. Listen to me. The word hopeless is not in the Bible. You look it up. The word hopeless is not in the Bible. Amen? Not whenever we serve the Savior that we serve. You think you're bad? I want to tell you about a bad man. You know what? There's a man by the name of Mel Trotter. Any of you ever heard of Mel Trotter before? Probably not. He lay drunk day and night. As a matter of fact, he had a family. He's probably the worst father that ever was, but he lay drunk day and night. He was worse than a hobo, and I literally say day and night he lay drunk. His daughter got sick. They raised enough money for him to go to the drugstore to get her medicine to get to her so she would live. Mel Trotter took the money and went to the beer joint and drunk it. She died. They had to come and get him out of the same beer joint to go to the funeral home to where she was at. So he went into the funeral home crying. So what's he do? He goes up to the coffin and takes the shoes off her feet so he can go sell them to buy more whiskey, to buy more drinks. Oh, yeah. Listen to me. On his way with those shoes out of the funeral home, he's going down the street. This was the grace of God. Church was having a service. And this lady came out on the street and asked him to come into the church. The music sounded so nice. He went into church, and Mel Trotter got saved that night. And listen to me. He started homeless shelters in Chicago. He started food pantries. He worked the rest of his life seeing that people got saved. You think you're hopeless here this morning? You have nothing on Mel Trotter. And Jesus Christ saved his soul. Amen. I'm telling you something here this morning. I don't know how far you think you've went. I don't know where you think you lie this morning, that there's no hope for you at anywhere. I want to tell you something this morning. I believe the words of this Bible that says Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those which were lost. Amen. Amen. And Paul said, of which he was chiefest among them. Listen to me. Are you in bondage here this morning? Are you in prison here this morning? Again, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm telling you what, I know somebody here needed to hear that this morning. They needed to hear this morning. I'm asking you, come. Listen to me. Listen to me. We can have victory in Jesus Christ. We can have that. I'm asking you, please come this morning. My heart aches for you. It does. Not to condemn you, but to see you get through. Say, come and get a song.